This is the Lifetime Body Podcast, where we pursue peak performance at any age. In every episode, we share the secrets of ultimate wellness, superior fitness, and maximum longevity. Join me, author and human performance expert John Zombro, and my amazing co-hosts and guests. We'll dive into the science of physical therapy, exercise physiology, biomechanics, nutrition, lifestyle, and more to meld the concepts of optimal living and advanced training. You'll explore how to look, feel, and perform your best as you achieve peak performance at any age. You're listening to the Lifetime Body Podcast. I am your host, John Zombro, and this is episode number 054. The usual but awesome. That's what today's show is. Actually, today's show is another one of our PT basics or physical therapy basics. Today, we're going to get into posture. But before we do that, I have a little surprise for someone who I'll introduce after he receives his surprise. I can't seem to face up to the facts. I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. I can't sleep because my bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est? Fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa-fa better. Run, 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 run away. Oh, 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 oh. Psycho killer. And that, folks, was the Talking Heads, as you could tell I butchered so terribly. And the reason I brought that song out today was because, you know, some listeners have asked before, hey, what does PK stand for? And then my response is, well, it's actually not psycho killer. PK, what do you say today, bro?
Hey, what's up, man? John, that is custom walk-up music that I in no way, shape, or form deserve, but I'll take. It sounded great, man. There was no butchering there.
Well, I am in a bit of a grog fog today.
Ooh, okay, fair enough. What for?
Well, last night I had the extreme pleasure to party with the training tribe. We did a workout in the speed camp that included pushing the prowler and doing some sprinting.
Okay, so you've got sort of like a whole body workout sort of fog going on.
Well, one of the things that happens whenever I do those big workouts, and we do big workouts twice per week, the rest is filler, honestly. I tend to sleep amazing, and especially my deep sleep, it just goes through the roof. It's just a wonderful stimulus that outdoor social group training can provide, and so that's well documented. But I awoke this morning, coming out of a sound sleep and just feeling, you know, slightly groggy and foggy, shall we say. And so obviously the Lifetime Body Podcast, always a fog lifter. And I also noticed that, my 55-year-old Achilles tendons said, what did you do to me last night?
Really? Okay. Yeah. The Achilles, what do you think? What was it in the workout that you think targeted or really drew upon those Achilles?
Oh, you know, they're going to be fine. They're just adapting to the training stimulus of bearing down on a weighted sled and powering that baby and then lighting up some sprints. We worked on some flying 30s last night. And, you know, the stuff we're doing, it's an elite group out there. Shout out to the peeps. And, we really get after it. It's the kind of training that really keeps your youthful, vital, elastic body alive, but it's hard work.
there's a lesson just in that last sentence that you shared with us, John.
I'm hoping there are lessons and pearls today, because, you know, sometimes I think if I'm speaking to myself, it's today might be speaking to myself. It could be Posture for Dummies. It could be the Idiot's Guide to Posture, or possibly even the Moron's Manual.
Well, isn't there something, especially, I mean, I had this thought about postures, that even when we know that we should be, you know, sitting up straight or whatever, we kind of slowly slide and rationalize into whatever posture is a little bit, you know, takes a little bit less dedication. I don't know. There's something in, even though we know what we need to do, we don't do it. And that seems to apply to posture.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And I think one of the ways to get into this is to start out by saying that posture is the structural alignment of our body.
Go on.
I think we've all heard the term form enhances function. And that is quite true with respect to our posture. And in other words, the form or the alignment or the arrangement of our skeletal system versus gravity is critical. And when we are aligned optimally, everything works better. All those series of levers and linkages perform the way they are evolutionarily designed.
And so if it's how we're evolutionarily designed, what gets us out of whack then? I mean, you know, we don't look at jungle cats like on National Geographic and say their posture's bad. Is it environmental? Is it the modern world? What is it that takes us out of that?
I think you hit on it. It's the man.
It's the man.
The man is trying to rob you of your genetically designed.
Got it. So it's not man, it's the man. The man trying to keep you down.
Figuratively speaking, yes. And I believe you described that best when you said, is it our modern life and modern world? Yes. And, you know, one of the culprits, of course, is our sitting. And sitting may not actually be the new smoking. That might be another topic. But prolonged and chronic sitting can, you know, cause quite a bit of change in posture, in tissue tightness, in wear and tear factors. And then we all tend to do these things where we drive automobiles and we work with various devices which tend to pull our focus down and forward. So we wind up with slouched posture. Sometimes, you know, different terms can be applied, like, oh, you have a forward head or rounded shoulders, or you're slumping or slouching in the lower back, so forth and so on. But yeah, that it's not that, you know, people are, you know, having these significant character flaws. It's really, we're fighting a battle against some of our societal roles and how those things challenge our mechanical function.
Got it. Okay.
So if I was to, you know, just ramble a bit, you know, Zeppelin style, better mechanical output is really what we're looking at. When we have a good posture, good, ideal, reasonably close to where we're supposed to be existing in space, we have more efficiency in how we, you know, function with those levers and linkages, more economy, we, you know, waste less energy, all those things. And ultimately these things lead to less wear and tear. Our body with good posture lasts longer without breakdown. And I think that's the goal for most of us on this lifetime body journey, is to make that thing last to the end. And so we don't have to live in it while it's broken down.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you kind of think about how posture fits into our lives, maybe let's just kind of start there. To get started with the discussion, what are your thoughts on that?
This was taught to me a long time ago, so I didn't come up with this, but posture reflects your attitude toward life.
You know, I'm thinking about being a teenager and having that phrase uttered to me by an adult and just thinking you can just go to hell, you know, or like sit up straight. I think that perhaps posture, maybe just because of the trope in all of our entertainment gets a bad rap for, you know, you're sitting in a class, you're sitting in church or perhaps somewhere where you just don't want to be there. So you end up slouching down. And explain to me what you mean by it reflects your attitude towards life.
Yes. Let's say it was a parent or a grandparent or a teacher or another person who suggested, oh, stand up straight or, you know, pull your shoulders back or whatever they may have said. And one of your possible responses, you already offered one, but another one that is possible is suck it, Trebek. You know, I mean, these things happen. Well, studies show that when a person is feeling good, so in other words, you know, there are ways to look at brain waves and other, you know, data, some of it subjective, their posture tends to be uplifted. So if you feel good, you're happy, you're positive, that actually comes through in your posture. There's a vibrancy and an elevation of how you stand and position.
Interesting. Okay. And the opposite must be true then. If you're not feeling it, then you're kind of slouched over.
Absolutely. So there are several converse relationships we can look at. If you're not feeling your best for any reason, you know, and we can make a long list, whether sometimes it could be physical, but certainly a lot of times emotional and you know, related to things that happen in life, sometimes I can pull you down. And that's true if posture follows that mood. And interestingly enough, research also supports that even if you're feeling poorly, if you make a concerted effort to, you know, improve your posture, whatever you think that is, it actually has been shown to improve mood. So if you're feeling bad and you restore your posture, you gain a few percentage points of good feeling from doing that.
How about that? Yeah, that sort of look good, feel good idea through the lens of posture. Interesting. Does it affect anything else in your life if you have good posture?
Sure, and that could be a long list, but I'm going to be as succinct as the listeners know that I try to be. So good posture has a positive effect on many things. First of all, you know, in not a narcissistic way, but in a, you know, just kind of a communicative and even cosmetic way, your appearance affects how people perceive you. When you have good posture, it's powerful body language, and it can be very positive body language. A person who is exhibiting ideal posture tends to look approachable and capable and many other things. So that's a great value. Then we get into a number of factors that I can kind of lump together, and I'll just kind of roll through them and you know, feel free to interrupt me or comment whenever.
Sure.
But our breathing is enhanced. Obviously, most people think about the airway and our trachea, which is the tube that goes from the mouth to the lungs, the nasal sinuses to the lungs. It is compromised when we have a slouched or slumped or forward head posture. So by being upright, we get better airflow into the lungs, better breathing. Along the same lines, our esophagus or our food tube, it's sitting right behind the trachea. So our swallowing is enhanced with good posture. A number of studies have shown that gut health and digestion is improved because we have less compression and restriction in the abdomen, and things function and flow, shall we say, the way they are supposed to. And I think most of us, especially in the work environment, will think about spinal comfort. And when the body is aligned, and the spine specifically, in the manner that it is designed to do with some subtle curvature, the spine is a curved rod because that's how it dissipates force. It's a brilliant design. But when we have those normal curves, things work and things last, and we don't have kind of wear and tear and breakdown and ultimately pain and injury. So posture is extremely powerful for spinal health. And then maybe the last thing to mention with posture, with sitting for sure, but definitely in standing, and hopefully I'll try to demonstrate this, not via the talking heads, though that was rough for me, with voice quality. So, you know, our pitch or our tone or our volume, our melody, all those things are enhanced by, you know, having good posture, because the diaphragm functions appropriately and it allows us to, move air through the vocal cords. So, you know, posture does a lot of great things for us. And even though as youths, we may have rebelled against well-meaning people telling us, it was probably more of how they delivered that message. It's something we want to all emphasize.
Right. Well, that all makes perfect sense. I think that, and it's interesting, that's a longer list than, and I know that you truncated it. That was a longer list than I suspect that you would have been able to put together.
Hey folks, thanks so much for listening today. This show and every episode of the podcast is brought to you by The Lifetime Body. At TLB, we offer a life-changing collection of services that include health and performance coaching and training packages and inspiring workshops revolving around the five life-optimizing components of food, movement, sleep, ergonomics, and awareness. Whether you are looking to tune up your health or body composition, train more effectively and get results in athletics, or bring wellness and productivity-enhancing workshops to your group or business, we've got you covered. Check out thelifetimebody.com. Click on the Work with Coach Jay-Z menu item and start achieving your peak performance today. Now back to the show.
It leads me to ask a question, just big picture. What exactly then does good posture look like if we can reap all the benefits from it if we're doing it?
I think we can describe it in words fairly effectively. So, you know, this isn't a visual show. I think we're going to do some of those in the future, but here's what it is. Ideal or good posture for a human beast represents the midpoint in the three dimensions in which we live. So three-dimensional thinking, or what we call in the PT world, triplanar alignment. So you have these three planes, right? So you have a frontal plane, a sagittal plane, and a transverse plane. And no one has to memorize that, but you can kind of picture, if you look at your body, it can move side to side, it can move forward, backward, and it can twist or rotate. Well, in terms of posture, we just want to have the body sitting near the midpoint, not exactly, but close to that midpoint, in all three planes. That means we're lined up in such a way that we don't have a lot of stress or gravitational loads on the body. Now, another way of looking at that, and most people will be very familiar with a plumb line. So, you know, whether it's used in construction or other ideas or other areas, a plumb line would be a vertical line, let's say, coming down from the ceiling, and then we can use that as a reference point. So if you're standing with the plumb line bisecting through your nose and straight down between your feet, really you want equal halves on either side. You don't want to be leaning off to the side. So that would be one way to evaluate posture. And certainly, you know, we've used those things in the clinic for years. Another way to look at the plumb line, and this is probably the more valuable one for societally induced postural issues, is the plumb line from the side roughly aligns with the ear, shoulder, elbow, hip, knee, and ankle. Again, small amount of variance there, but that line going through the side means that you're not leaning forward or backward or having a lack of, or more usually a hypercurvature in the spine. And the point I made earlier about what good posture is, it doesn't have to exactly be that point. You don't try to lock up rigidly. Now I'm perfect, I've got to stay there. It is a point or a zone that I call, I think this is a made up word, I call hoverance.
Hoverance, got it. So just within a sweet spot, but it's not just one point.
Exactly. It's a place that you're hovering around. And so you have this small zone, it's a few degrees of freedom, and that's fine. The body is so brilliant like that. It accommodates, minor things, even prefers that, because if we're hovering, we've got some change in how gravity loads the tissues and some oxygenation from the circulation that happens with hoverance versus, being more corpse-like. And of course, a lifetime body is never corpse-like.
No. Definitely not. Okay, so talk to me about what are some simple and easy things that a listener could do or you and I can do if we want to improve our posture, and this is just kind of hitting our radar today as we're going about our days. What are some things that we can do?
Sure, and these are easy. They're great things to think about. You know, we don't have to do, this doesn't have to be really intensive, but if we recognize that the body's interconnected, typically improving one area from a postural perspective tends to drive the others into a more corrected position. So, you know, you don't always have to fix everything and kind of aim at different spots and get all, you know, discombobulated. It's like, okay, maybe how about one thing to think about and do that one thing and see what happens. So I want to put that out there, but here's the first thing. If I'm going from a top-down model, and you could certainly do the opposite, simply tuck the chin. So what that means is when we get into these forward head positions, you know, as we drift forward and down and the neck flexes forward, we have to cock the head backwards or tilt it backwards in order to, you know, have the eyes be level and see what we're focusing upon. So that tends to have the chin come jutting out forward and can cause quite a bit of, you know, compression, strain in the neck, but also compression where the neck meets the head, and, you know, neck pain and headaches are common. So simply tucking the chin by, you know, kind of retracting back, you know, kind of think of like a turkey neck maneuver or just pushing lightly, very, very lightly on your chin, you know, to get it back underneath you. That's really a great tip.
So that's just, are we, I guess, arching our spine back, or is that just in the position that you're in? If you find yourself kind of your chin going up, you just want to tuck it.
Yeah. And so that gets into that, you know, preface that I had said, you know, by when you tuck the chin, it naturally kind of starts to pull the rest of the body along, and, you know, the head follows the eyes, and the body follows the head in most cases. So it's kind of that's why I started up at the top. But maybe the next thing you think about is, you know, your chest bone or breastbone. That's your sternum. Well, it's gonna have dropped or collapsed in most postural issues, and so we simply think, lift the sternum. Just put your fingers on it and just lift it up, you know, an inch. That's all you have to do. And when you lift the sternum, that goes in concert with tucking the chin.
I like it. Keep going. I'm doing this as I'm listening to you.
Okay, so let's say Granny said something about your shoulders, and you're like, rawr, 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 rawr. but what you really do is you want to retract your shoulder girdle. So sometimes, you know, those shoulders will kind of drop down and in. And if you think about, oh, well, I've got these muscles in my shoulder blade area, particularly between them. And if you just activate them slightly, maybe even at the same time you're lifting the sternum, you know, just pinch your shoulders back. Again, subtle and not forceful. Great. Now we're starting to stack things, and we've got the shoulders and the sternum and the neck and the head starting to line up. And what I like to add with this retraction of the shoulder girdle suggestion, you know, a lot of people will say, well, gosh, it seems like my arms are turned in and my palms face backwards behind me. And, you know, so that's an internally rotated shoulder girdle, and that robs you of function in your shoulders as well. So we say, okay, as you retract your shoulder girdle, simply turn your palms out. Just rotate your hands along with that movement, and it drives the external rotation retraction combo. So quick fix.
So my palms are at my sides. Mm-hmm. And I am retracting my shoulder girdle and turning my palms out. When am I doing? Am I doing this as I'm sitting, as I'm walking, like just kind of practically in all things?
I mean, everything we talk about that, you know, that goes from the head to the pelvis, you can do in sitting and should, but all these things work best if you're practicing them in standing.
Interesting. Okay. Carry on.
Okay, so now we're at the pelvis, or the relationship between the pelvis and the back. And that's really where, you know, we see when viewed from the side, a lot of us, you know, when sitting, because we're weight bearing on the pelvis, a lot of times there's a lot of rounding or flexing there, and that's called kyphosis.
Rounding as in the lower back is rounding out, like your butt kind of pooches out? Like, is your pelvic tilted forward or backwards?
Well,
I guess. I'm glad you asked rounding.
That way, because these things work together. So I don't want to confuse the audience, but if we'll come back to the difference between sitting and standing, but if your pelvis tilts forward, so a forward tilt would be in what we call an anterior tilt of the pelvis. And if the pelvis is a level tabletop, an anterior tilt would mean the belly button side tips down and water would run off the front.
Okay. So
the opposite of that is a posterior tilt of the pelvis, where the back end tips or tilts and water would run off the back. And so what's unique about that is these things are linked, or here's another PT term, obligatorily coupled. So if your pelvis tilts forward, it arches your lower back. I mean, everybody can just do that as they're sitting there. So arching of the lower back is extension, but it's also increasing the curvature or increasing the lordosis. So the anteriorly tilted pelvis goes with the arched back. Now the posteriorly tilted pelvis goes with the rounded lower back. Mm. And here's, now we can come back to that difference. Typically, if we do what you might call collapsed sitting, where we just collapse in a sitting position, we'll get the posterior tilt and the rounded back. But in standing, if we, aren't ideally aligned, usually what gravity causes to happen is the pelvis tilts forward and the back jams up into an arched position.
So if you say level the pelvis, then kind of knowing the two opposite ends of the spectrum, what does that feel like? What am I looking to recognize in the leveling? What is it? How would I know that I've got it level?
Yeah, well, you're going to find, this is Elvis-like talk, you know. Oh, man, there's some songs there, but I'm going to hold. So when you level the pelvis, you can put your hands on, you know, the sides of your pelvis, kind of like hands on hips position, waistband or belt, and then simply tilt your pelvis back and forth, and you'll notice that when your pelvis tilts forward, your lower back arches, and when you go the other way, it rounds. And so you can start doing that movement and then start to make it less and less till you get close to the middle, the midpoint in range, which we call the neutral position, the neutral lumbopelvic position. And then that's roughly the spot you want to be at. Now, again, there's always that room for personal variance, you know, so if some people for different reasons may have a back or a spine that is what we call extension sensitive. And so it doesn't do quite as well at the exact midpoint. It might prefer to be a bit more flexed. So it's just on the flex side of the middle. And then vice versa, a person who's flexion sensitive, tensile loads in the lower back bother them a bit. They may actually crave to be a tiny bit more extended. So I always want to make sure that, you know, we look at individual differences. There's a general set of principles, but we have to modify them to fit each person.
Mm, really? Yeah. So you're saying find your own hoverance zone, and that's where you want to be. Okay. I like this. All right. So I've tucked my chin, lift my sternum. I've got my shoulder girdle and palms out. I've leveled my pelvis. I'm working my way down. Where do I go from here?
Unlock the knees.
Okay. So walk me through that.
So this one's fairly obvious, but you know, most people will feel like, gosh, if I jam my knees back into hyperextension, it's a locked knee, it's bone on bone, and that actually drives an arched lower back. And when that lower back arches, it accelerates the degree of curvature all the way up the spine. So simply unlocking your knees, you know, that for some people, that may be their cue. You don't have to do all those other things, just unlock your knees, and all of a sudden, all the blocks stack up optimally.
Interesting. Okay. Then I assume that you've got some thoughts about what we're doing with our feet. Maybe that's a wrong assumption, but is there anything to think about as we connect our body with the ground?
Oh, absolutely. And I believe it's way more important than many people that I've interacted with believed or understood. And so here's the thing. The feet are the foundation upon which we stand. And never do you want a structure to be built with a, I want to say crappy, but that's kind of, you know, I should say less than optimal foundation. So why that happens is, I mean, some of it is due to habit and, you know, other things, but also the modern world. And, you know, we wear a lot of shoes and there's all those considerations. Well, what I see happen is people get a little sleepy. their feet get sleepy. They get a little sloppy and they just let their feet slap down and collapse. And they're passively standing on these, you know, crushed structures. When what you really need to do, and here's the pearl, is you want to activate your foot to participate in the maintenance of holding up the body against gravity by jacking up the arches.
Okay. So I'm standing here trying to do this. Walk me through that. Describe. So when you say people slap your foot down, is that like where you're just not thinking about it too much and your arches are kind of seeping down towards the gap between your feet then? And then how do you activate your arches?
Yeah, well, foot structure and mobility, you know, varies a bit from person to person.
Sure.
But what I'm getting at is, you know, regardless of the individual differences, if a person just stands on their feet without using them as dynamic, you know, structures, that's really the point. And so how you activate your arches or how you jack them up is you're standing. And while you're standing, you want to be using the whole foot. So view the foot, excuse me, as a tripod. And, you know, weight bear onto the heels a bit and also on either side, inside, outside of the ball of the foot. So that's your tripod of weight bearing. And then very, very gently, just use a little bit of the natural force that exists in the body to bring that, what we call it the medial longitudinal arch, but bring that inside major arch of the foot just up a few millimeters. And it was taught to me to think about, oh, well, someone is placing a robin's egg underneath there. And you just want to lift up to accommodate that so you don't crush, you know, the future of the robin species.
John, that's a fascinating feeling. It feels like, you know, you're turning you're levering your knees out. I know you're not doing this, but that's just a few millimeters. If you actually focus on it, feels like a lot.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Oh, go ahead. I didn't mean to get excited there.
No, I've never honestly thought about that before, and it's kind of fascinating. I imagine that if you're doing this all day for the first time, you'd probably feel some soreness, or that'd be activating some like little tendons and muscles and stuff that hasn't worked in a long time.
Oh, sure. Waking the body up and getting it back to its natural state, restoring what the man was trying to take from you. And so, you know, really you keyed on that point. It's subtle. It's not like you're jacking up your arches to the extent that you feel like you're weight bearing on the sides of your feet, or, you know, you look like you just got off a mechanical bull. No, that's too much. It's just that subtle amount of normalization. Of course, you know, these things work for everything. So, you know, you're talking about, well, if a person, you know, and I've seen them, you know, I've seen people who had chronic headaches who, you know, a lot of those top-down issues weren't that bad, but this arch issue was really big. And so we got the arches driving the foundation and aligning things, and it helped their head. Also, when you look at, you know, the basis of anything athletic and weight bearing through the lower extremity, and the leg has posture, that's the point to make up. You know, posture is not just the neck. If you're going to cut or land or jump or squat or sprint, you want these activated arches. Otherwise, you've just got a flop slop in the system, and that's no bueno.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I certainly have learned some things that you just walking through that I can put into play today.
Hi, guys. Are you looking for more effective ways to level up your fitness and performance? Lifetime Body Programs are ebooks that can help you to 10x your outcomes in health and sports. Want to learn more about your unique gifts and match your training up to fit your body type? Get your copy of Animal Fit, Unleash Your Inner Beast, and Unlock Your Athletic Potential. Or maybe you're interested in dropping a few pounds and tuning up your body composition. Get effortless weight loss and discover the 10 simple, research-proven steps to your ideal weight. Just head on over to thelifetimebody.com, click on programs, and download your copies today.
If you had to summarize, what's the take-home message and, you know, on posture as a PT basics? And there's a reason why you selected this as the first PT basic to put out there in the world. I'd like to know why, and then, you know, what should we be thinking about? What are we taking with us as we go about our days after we wrap up?
Oh, sure. I mean, definitely, you know, it's one of these issues where we have this mechanical system known as the body. And, you know, if we don't get it lined up, just like, you know, a front end alignment in a car, for example, anything else we do is just not going to be that as effective as it could be, say it that way. Well, you know, occasionally we all may need to address restrictions in the body, restrictions in mobility or stability. So in other words, okay, these cues, you know, they help quite a bit. But if a person has been in a deviant posture, an aberrant position for years, and that is very true for many of us, well, the body may have kind of locked into that. And so it's hard to just drive that, you have that correction drive, all the repair. And so in that case, we'll say, oh, well, maybe someone does have some stiffness at the level of a joint or two or 20 or, muscle, fascia. We can improve that mobility through exercise or other means. And then in terms of stability, maybe they don't have the inherent stability to stay in the ideal posture. You know, there could be issues with too much flexibility or weakness or lack of endurance or even lack of coordination. So, you know, those are some advanced things that sometimes that's what we get into when we're, you know, when the basics don't, you know, treat the posture. And so I just want to say, hey, let's be aware of that. But most of the time, I'm going to be honest, that's not necessary. You know, we just need to be more cognizant of how our bodies are made to exist in this world. So also, use awareness and be aware of what we're all doing. I say this to myself as well, to improve our habits. And so if we have these habits where we really kind of sink down into seated work and workstations and, you know, and hang out there for hours, well, that's not a desirable habit for long-term health. And it's even not one for productivity and creativity based on research. So instead, take more breaks and just refresh the body with random movement. Even less than ideal posture isn't as damaging if we break it up. Another suggestion would be, you have to think about all these things as creating flow states and not force states. And so, posture really, if it's working, you relax into it. And eventually, at first it might be work for a person who's got some of those issues, but eventually it feels good because that's what the body is made to do and wants. And now we've taken away aggravating stressors. And so, it's just a wonderful place to exist. And again, making the making science and common sense come together, but making these lifetime bodies just exist and last and function wonderfully with minimal effort put in.
I love it. What else are you thinking of as your sort of what else are we taking home as the audience?
Well, one of my fascinations, areas of study, interest, is ancestral health and, really studying and learning, what we know and can learn from humans being on the earth for over 2 million years. And I like to look at animals too, and I think humans are animals and natural beasts. So when we look at how beings function, we can learn a lot. And specifically when we look at modern hunter-gatherers, so these remnant populations around our world who are still, living probably very close to, what we did for 2 million years prior to, the onset of seated workstations and some of the things that we all utilize or potentially do. Well, when you look at all these modern hunter-gatherers, and whether you're nature, science, National Geographic, whatever, wherever you're seeing these things, they all have perfect posture. I mean, they have a lot of things going for them, but they all have this perfect posture because they're just existing and living, and the body's automatically wired to just be right. And, they don't use these, vehicles and computers and things that, can wreck posture. So it's a powerful light bulb to see, kind of like a native person, just exhibiting, hey, they don't have to think about anything to fix because they're not doing anything to destroy it.
It seems like something that we've continually circled back around to grapple with here, just with what the TLB is all about is that in an increasingly greater way, the modern advances of this modern world are taking us out of, you know, where we've naturally been. So we're combating that. It's like, it's an interesting challenge that we face that is never ending, it seems like.
Yes, we're not saying, hey, let's all go back to the cave, but there's a way to you find the appropriate middle ground. And maybe the final comment that I would make is, any person with a lifetime body who wants to perform better. And so, you know, that's, you perform better in any aspect of life, but particularly athletics and in their training, or someone who wants to feel better, you know, have more energy, get some relief of chronic pain, or is in rehab for an injury, or someone who wants to look better, just, you know, have a more empowered and energetic profile or appearance, and want their clothes to fit a certain way. We should all start with posture as the foundation for excellence.
Well, you know, John, I think that those are great lessons and takeaways. I think that your voice would really reverberate nicely in a cave, though, should we all go back there.
Psycho killer. and just so the audience knows, PK is not a psycho killer. He's awesome. So we received a wonderful review and it's being featured as the review of the week. It's from JTNAW on Apple Podcasts. And I think I'll let PK's voice read this and resonate through the cave.
Gotcha. I'm wondering if it's from JT Nah. In any case, this person writes, on a recent road trip, I had the chance to binge listen to the Lifetime Body podcasts. I found the information on health, wellness, and fitness to be well-researched and presented in a very entertaining way. Thanks, Jay-Z and PK, for sharing an all caps lifetime of knowledge. Very enjoyable. Wow. That is, I didn't know we were bingeable, Jay-Z, and that is a heck of a review. Thank you, JT Knopf.
I'm giddy like a schoolboy, as always. And really, all I've got to say is, hey, you know, everyone, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate you being here. Keep on keeping on with what you're doing. We're going to try to keep giving you pearls of performance and wellness wisdom. And if you find it in your heart, please give us a 5-star rating and a review. It really does help us get this message out to more and more people. And we'll see you next week.
Adios.
Thank you for joining us on the Lifetime Body Podcast, where we achieve peak performance at any age. If you're enjoying this content, please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to the show and share it with your friends and family. Also, check out thelifetimebody.com, where you can access a variety of publications and media that can help you to achieve the highest levels of health, fitness, success, and happiness. And be sure to subscribe to the weekly Peak Performance Update, which keeps you real time on the latest releases from TLB. Until next time, this is the Lifetime Body, where science meets common sense and where we achieve peak performance at any age.